Welcome to the Online Writing Insider, a podcast designed to give you an edge in the world of written online content. The Online Writing Insider is hosted by HubPages.com, an online writing community where everyday experts publish, share, and earn from their online articles. Hello, and welcome to another Online Writing Insider. I'm Simone Smith, and here's Robin Edmondson. And we actually have a special request for today's podcast. Amy Douglas on Facebook requested that we talk about finding legitimate sources for research. She wanted to make sure that her hubs, that she may be writing about things that she's learning, are legitimately sourced. And I'm so excited about someone caring about this, because usually people just go to Wikipedia and they write about whatever they find, or they write about whatever they heard from someone, and that might not be right.
Yeah.
And this is how misunderstandings begin.
Yes.
And bad information spreads. And Amy's all about getting the truth out there.
And good job, Amy.
We are too. So we're going to share with you our top tips, just general words of wisdom regarding using good sources, so that you can make sure that if you are writing a hub about anything from financial advice to some historical event, you can know that you're using good sources. So my biggest piece of advice, always go for primary sources. So that means get it from the horse's mouth.
Yes.
You may not be able to hear directly from Queen Elizabeth, but you can go to books written by people who are experts on her.
Yep.
So if you read a news article, say, about Queen Elizabeth, don't just talk about what you heard in that news article. Go to whatever source that news article is referencing. A better example is maybe a news article referencing a study. We hear those all the time.
Yes, that's true.
Because reporters like to pick up on, 60% of people have rabies. And they usually reference that study that's run by Johns Hopkins University, whatever. Go to their website and find their information about the study. Yep. Maybe they'll have even detailed information that other people have misinterpreted, and you can get the truth. You know, though, that if you go to the source, you're going to have less of a telephone effect, which does happen as things spread online. You can see it.
Yeah, and it's nice if you are referencing a study, you might want to Google that topic and a study and see if there's any other studies out there that have conflicting information, so that you make sure that you're on both sides of the coin.
Yeah, you want to cover that conflicting information.
Because you never know. Even studies are not, they could be...
Oh, especially studies.
They could be, be given money from pharmaceutical companies, or you don't know 100%
studies have small sample sizes, even things that seem very clear conclusions could be the result of bad sampling or a fluke, and other studies will say the opposite thing. In fact, this is the norm. This is not the exception.
Yes.
We will hear, oh, fat's good for you. No, fat's bad for you.
Yeah.
And no. Well, so.
Yeah.
Yes, you're very right. Show both sides of the situation if you can find conflicting resources. And that means the world is more gray, which I hate.
Yeah.
But that's what knowledge is all about.
Yeah.
Truth is important. So let's go on to talking about legitimate sources, if we're going to go to the horse's mouth, that you can actually trust, because not all of them are trustworthy.
Yep.
Well, okay. Let's start with...
.edu.
Yes. That's...
I think that's the...
You can trust those.
Yeah. And I know, when I was doing a lot of my grammar hubs, I made sure that I'd go to a few educational... collegiate sites.
Yeah,
and just
if
double
you see
check.
.edu, you know it belongs. So this, we're not just saying go to online school of science.com. We're saying go to an educational institution site, and you can tell if it's an educational institution site if it has .edu at the end of the URL.
Yes.
And it's a good way to go.
Yeah.
They're not always accurate.
Not always
sometimes
accurate, but
school websites have weird stuff, but you can trust them more than others. .gov is another really big one.
Mm-hmm.
Sites belonging to the United States government.
Yeah. So if you're doing a finance article or something about taxes, you can go to the IRS's website and get...
Or the census website is amazing.
Go to get real information. You
the
know
EPA
that it's true.
Has lots of studies that you can reference. Oh, yeah. It's the Census Bureau. That's one of my favorites. Mm-hmm. Their information is great.
Yeah.
The nutritional information, the food pyramid, studies and things that they publish are generally trustworthy.
Yeah.
They will get in big trouble if they mess up. So
sure.
That's another definite way to go. And related to .edu and in some ways to .gov, you can also, with a good degree of confidence, trust scholarly articles. These belong to journals of medicine, and they're in other journals that are vetted and trustworthy.
Yes.
So scholarly articles are a good thing, and we're going to talk a little bit later about easy ways that you can find those articles. There are special search engines and additions to existing search engines that will enable you to find them pretty easily.
Yep.
So let's go into sites that you can kind of trust.
Yeah.
And those are pretty much major news sites like CNN and Fox.
New York Times,
NPR.
But, you know, I mean, even on Hub Pages, it's funny. We hear a lot of back and forth with all of the political between Fox and CNN.
Oh, heavens, yes.
Because they're still slanted one way or the other.
They're definitely slanted, yes.
You have to be careful. I think the New York Times is a pretty good, more balanced. But...
Well, that's usually only an issue with political stuff,
yes.
And everyone kind of knows that's opinion,
yes.
So it doesn't really matter what they say anyway.
Yeah.
It's you can still trust them to be a little bit less slanted when it comes to sharing more concrete information or historical information.
Yes,
They're not likely to write about Catherine the Great in a really weird and inaccurate way because they're trustworthy institutions that pay actual trained reporters to write articles.
Yeah.
And those trained reporters have been trained in getting good information.
Yeah.
Unlike people who might just have a random website about weird stuff from history. This is Catherine the Great. She had a thing with horses. You know.
Yeah.
They may not have been trained, and we can't trust them per se. So let's actually go on to those people. Sites that you can't trust.
Bloggers,
yeah. Mini bloggers are amazing. They really are trustworthy, but you have to take this on a credential-by-credential basis.
Yes.
And even if someone says that they're a specialist and that they're highly trained and that they're... like, think of the millions of quote-unquote SEO experts out there.
Yep.
Everyone says that they're an expert, especially if they're brand new and don't know what they're doing. So you really can't trust what they say and you would probably need external references saying that this person has credentials before you can really trust them. This also extends to online article writers in general, people from ehowabout.com, and yes, hubpages.com as well.
Mm-hmm.
I would never venture to say that each and every one of our hubbers, including myself, is an expert. In fact, a really good example that I can use as one of my own hubs.
Mm-hmm.
And the hub is... called the sociopath test. Are you a sociopath? And I made that after I watched an episode of Sherlock, and he talks about himself being a highly functioning sociopath, and I was like, well, I want to research this. And so I went on to actual medical sites and discovered that there's no such thing as being a sociopath. It's actually antisocial personality disorder, and I found the symptoms of that and created a fun quiz using those vetted symptoms. But I'm still not an expert.
Yeah.
And unfortunately... or fortunately for me, that article gets a lot of search traffic and a lot of people who are actually wondering if they're sociopaths, or more correctly, if they have antisocial personality disorder, are going to that and they're taking my little quiz. And I emphasize this in the article, but they really shouldn't...
They should go see a doctor.
Yeah, they should not be taking my online quiz. I am a 24-year-old girl who studied business and fine arts. I'd not even taken a single psychology or not even a sociology class or anthropology. Nothing to do with the human.
Yeah.
So I'm the perfect example.
Yeah.
You cannot trust general online article writers, as well-meaning and as well-researched as they may be. They're not experts.
At least to quote them in your hubs. Like, I know we have some hubbers on Hub Pages. We have Dr. Graham.
Doc Grizz,
yes. Who is a vet, and, you know, he gives great advice, and
yes.
I could trust that with my dog, but I might not want to recreate an article or use...
No.
You know, so think about a little bit. When you're creating your hub, you want to be... as authoritative as possible. And so finding good resources that you can trust 100% is a good idea.
And so, your readers will respect you for that.
Sure.
They will appreciate you saying, well, I heard from my neighbor that da-da-da-da-da. Instead, they can say, well, according to this Journal of Medicine in a 2008 study, this percent of respondents, da-da-da-da. Mm-hmm. So that is trustworthy.
Yes.
And that will help you
be
successful. So you can also, we just want to point out, not trust people on social media channels. Because even if this person is a famous, important political figure or something, they could be tweeting drunk. They could be saying just random things on their Facebook page. They could not be the person that they say they are.
Yeah, that's true.
How many Jesuses are there on Twitter? So, yeah, you cannot trust them. You can also not trust advertisers. I just want to point this out. Many advertisers are very crafty at creating sites that look like they're full of very legitimate information.
9 out of 10 dentists agree.
Yeah. And, of course, they say that. So you just cannot trust
that's
a site
common
belonging
sense.
To.
Yeah.
Yes. That said, brand sites are useful in that if you want to give information about that brand,
sure,
that is the horse's mouth. That is the direct source. But that's really the only time when you want to reference a brand's site is if you're talking about the brand. Mm-hmm. So let's talk about finding especially educational, scholarly articles to reference. There are some great search engine add-ons, or not add-ons, but features
tools
that enable you to specifically find these types of articles. The primary one that I use is Google Scholar. However, there are, according to other people that I've referenced, there are other sites through Bing and Yahoo that also allow you to search for academic articles. So you don't have to just use Google Scholar. You can use any sort of modified version or filter on a big search engine. But basically, Google Scholar enables you to broadly search for scholarly literature only. So instead of seeing typical websites as top results, you'll see actual published journals and educational institutions articles. It's great. And you can filter by a lot of different things. You can filter by author and by publication and by date, so you can make sure you only find the latest studies instead of that 1962 study, which is totally wrong. And you can also narrow your search by subject area, for example, just looking at medicine or chemistry or business. So it's not as though you have to wade through a ton of really obscure and harder to read articles. This is a very user-friendly search engine. You can even look specifically in Google Scholar for legal opinions and journals. And there's even a filter for patents.
Oh, that's neat.
So that you can not look for patents or look for patents. It's fantastic.
Yeah.
And another big resource is JSTOR, which is a not-for-profit service that offers an archive of academic journals and other scholarly articles. In many cases, you won't be able to read complete articles without paying for the service. But a really nice way around this is to work through your library. Most libraries have membership with JSTOR, and you can then use that resource.
That's great.
Which is actually, it's amazing considering how much subscriptions to not just JSTOR, but many other scholarly article databases can cost.
Yeah.
But Robin, you and I were talking about this before we started recording about how just referencing actual books is okay to what they used to do back in the day.
Yeah, really. All of your books from college and have a lot of information and just books from the library. Go to the library and do a little research. Might be kind of fun, actually.
Yeah.
Kind of feel like the olden days.
Yeah, actually picking up a book.
Yeah.
Although it's going to be so weird to push, like, hold my finger on a word and not have it be defined. It makes me nervous. Not be able to search for key phrases.
Yes, really.
Oh, gosh. Yeah. Although I love the way that books smell. And it's so true. There are so many books that just aren't online that you won't be able to find. Yeah. There are things like Google Books and other great book search engines, but
Yeah, some of it you just have to go right to the book.
And that gives you an edge up because then you've
Nobody
got a resource
else is
that,
doing it.
Yeah, because there are so many instances in which a not well covered field online has only one good resource that's available online, and everyone references that. Whereas there are actually tons of offline resources, and if you have those, then you'll be the one that stands out.
Yep.
So finally, if you do reference these, I want to point out that you should share your sources. And if we were in college, we'd be talking about bibliographies and what style you're going to use. Yep. The Chicago style or right. MLA style?
Yep.
Yeah. Nicely or very pleasantly a part of writing online is you don't have to use those. But it's still important that you do reference them. And one thing you can do on hub pages is include links to all of those sources in a links capsule at the end of your hub. Or you can do what a lot of people do online and just hyperlink phrases referring to that source directly in your text.
Yeah.
It allows people to click right through to them if they want more information.
And it makes people trust your work when you do that.
Absolutely.
So it's a good idea.
Yeah. So share your sources. And I want to leave you with this. You should just be a critical thinker. Question what you read, because
just like you tell elementary school kids when they first learn about the web,
yes,
don't believe everything you read. You have to be more thoughtful and think about, does this really make sense?
Yes. Not a lot of people think about that.
No.
Mostly because we're moving very fast and we don't have time to think carefully about everything, but it does make a huge difference and it's really important. So question everything, because the internet is full of lies, which makes it kind of fun.
Yep.
But anyway, thank you so much, Amy, for giving us this idea for a podcast.
Yeah.
It's one thing that we would love to see more of, responsible research. And we hope that you found that this advice is helpful. Although I bet that you're already pretty good with this.
Yeah.
Being that you actually care.
Mm-hmm.
So if any of you listening right now have ideas for future podcasts that we might do, if you have any things you're wondering about the online writing world could maybe help you with, or an issue that you're having trouble with, we would love to be of assistance. So send questions and suggestions and ideas to podcast@hubpages.com. That's our special email address. We would love to hear from you. So thanks again to Amy, and thank you everyone for listening.